had to, you know, it's tough going over to the woodshed.
Well, actually, I walk out on all of these because they said, if you were smoking and crying, you know he's in trouble.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee for February 9th, 2012. Sorry about the delay. We had to take care of some committee business. And it's all taken care of.
His arm was broken.
There's no such thing as twisted arms in here. And I will just let folks know we are going to be ending by 2 because the chair and several other folks are leaving for the memorial for Gail Achterman, which is starts at 3 o'clock, unfortunately. I wish I was saying we were going off for better business, but... So we just have one bill up today, Senate Bill 1512, and with that, I will open up the public hearing on Senate Bill 1512. Beth.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1512 would prohibit the sale, offering for sale, or distribution of any lighting that contains mercury in amounts exceeding the listed standards. It does establish some exemptions for particular bulbs. It directs the Department of Environmental Quality to report to the Legislative Assembly if it's determined that California has adopted in whole or in part the mercury content standards adopted by the European Union in the Ross II Directive. It directs the Department of Administrative Services to consult with DEQ and request lighting information from suppliers and issue specifications that make procurement decisions to favor lighting that meets the standards in the bill. The introduced bill adds lighting containing mercury to existing education and promotion programs and makes violation of the mercury content standards a violation of the Unlawful Trade Practices Act. There is also in front of you a -1 amendment. That amendment modifies some of the content standards, removes a provision adding lighting containing mercury to the existing education and promotion programs, and also removes a requirement that DEQ report to the Legislative Assembly on the most effective, cost-efficient, and convenient methods for proper recycling of light bulbs containing mercury. We don't yet have the fiscal or revenue statement on the -1, but we may get it soon.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. And I just want to remind the committee that we've heard informational hearings on this during the interim. I want to thank my vice chair, Senator Olson, because he's been working with this issue with me over the past many months. The bill in front of you, the -1s, is that completely replaces the original legislation. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so this tries to incorporate some of the issues or concerns that we heard during the informational hearing. I am going to start off by saying this is by no means a perfect bill, but what we're trying to do is start down the path of how do we deal with the proper recycling disposal of compact fluorescent lights that do contain mercury. And part of it is reducing the mercury in content up front, and then part of it is making sure that these are handled properly. So we don't have the answers to the handling issue. That's still something we're going to be working on, but at least we're going to start looking at what's the best way to do that. And part of the reason why this bill is before you now is you probably know that over the next year, there will be a phasing out of certain incandescent light bulbs, and compact fluorescent lights will be more prevalent even than they are today, which is quite prevalent. And so the concern is making sure that people who are handling the end of life of this product are doing it the correct way, and that we're helping provide guidance and a way to do that eventually. What you see in front of you right now deals with a couple of portions, the mercury content standard in the state procurement policy, and then also, as Beth said, the unlawful trade practices for that. And finally, we have work that's going to be ongoing that we'll hear a little bit more from the Department of Environmental Quality, because this is part of a broader issue when it comes to end life of products. So I think first we're going to hear from Scott Clegg, Emily Auckland, and Jeff Bissonnette. I'm just going to read down the list, so we've got about 3 panels of folks that are coming up. Okay, whoever wants to start off.
Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee. My name is Scott Clagg. I'm a senior solid waste planner at Metro, the regional government in the Portland metropolitan area. Metro has been interested in the mercury lighting issue for a number of years here. We collect these lamps at our household hazardous waste program, and as the senator talked about, the number that we've been getting has been increasing substantially over the years. We were here last session to talk about Senate Bill 529. That bill would have had a few more provisions in it, moving us towards a better collection system. We appreciate the committee and the senator putting this bill forward today, which has, I think, two very important provisions that were part of that bill that have been talked about here, which is the procurement and the content standards. I'd also like to thank the industry, the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, that we worked with over the past several months to develop a set of content standards that would be workable for the industry. We also think they are good content standards. They'll provide a good guidance for consumers about the mercury lighting levels that will be for most of the common general purpose lamps, straight tubes, and CFLs that people purchase. I also note that when we were here last session, as I said, we were talking about some of the collection issues. I think that during the interim to the next session, we will be continuing to work with the committee, and I know Senator Olson had interest in some additional collection options like curbside. Metro has going to engage in some additional research and work on that, so we can bring that forward next session. So. Thank you very much again for bringing this forward, and we strongly urge you at Metro to pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Molly?
Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee, my name is Emily Ackland. I'm the Environmental Policy Manager at the Association of Oregon Counties. First, Chair Dingfelder, I'd like to thank you again for coming to our legislative committee meeting on Monday to talk about product stewardship and this bill, even though it's not a product stewardship bill, and bringing this information before the county commissioners and listening to our feedback. We really appreciate that. Having said that, I'm happy to be here representing AOC in support of Senate Bill 1512 and the -1 amendments. As you know, counties manage solid waste programs, including landfills, transfer stations, and recycling and household hazardous waste programs. Mercury is a priority concern for counties because it is a dangerous substance. Counties support this bill because it addresses content standards and state procurement of lighting that contains mercury. All of these efforts will reduce the amount of mercury going into our landfills. Many, not all counties are collecting mercury lighting at this time. The cost of programs varies from $0 spent to $40,000 spent annually. On the back of my testimony, I provided Marion County numbers from 2000 to 2011. And I think it's interesting, as you can see, the amount of mercury lighting that needs to be disposed of is going up very quickly, as well as the cost of the program. With that, this is a good bill, and it's certainly not too soon to address this issue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee. My name is Jeff Bissonette, representing the Citizens Utility Board of Oregon. We represent residential ratepayers of regulated utilities. We also are happy to appear in support of Senate Bill 1512 and the -1 amendments. Back in the early part of the first decade of the century, 2000, 2001, 2002, we encouraged a lot of people during the Western energy crisis to install CFLs to bring down overall energy usage. That was a very successful, some say extraordinarily successful effort. But now, you know, as we reach the decade point, we're seeing a need for those CFLs to be replaced. And I think you're seeing that in terms of the numbers that are showing up in at the county disposal centers and the metro disposal centers. And consumers definitely want to do the right thing, both installing the CFLs and then disposing of them afterward. This bill is a good first step in heading down that road to help consumers responsibly manage the CFLs that they're putting in their house, and we urge you to pass the bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for any of the panelists?
Anyone? Ms. Ackland, how do the counties, is the cost to the county, is that on the collection side or is that the disposal? What do you do with it once you get it?
Sure. Chair Dingfelder and Senator Olson. The costs, as you can see on the testimony, includes the recycling fees. So the counties will collect it generally free of charge. Sometimes there's a fee at the household hazardous waste facility. The numbers here include what it costs to dispose of the lighting, and then also any outreach, education, advertising that they put forward, you know, to inform people of where to dispose of the lighting.
Follow up? Where do you take it to? Once you have it, what do you do with it?
Sure. Chair Dingfelder and Senator Olson. Generally, there's a collection company that will come to the household hazardous waste facility, collect it, and properly dispose of it.
Okay, can I ask a question, Mr. Clegg?
Yeah, sure.
What does Metro do with their product?
We have, for all the hazardous waste that we collect at our facilities, we go out and we solicit contracts, we do bids, so we have a contract, I believe, with Total Reclaim at this point, I believe, to process those bulbs on a regular basis. We send them off. They process the bulbs and break the glass and separate it out in a way that doesn't, you know, let the mercury get out and recycle the glass and the metal that they can from that.
What I'm trying to get to is, where in the world does the mercury end up? Is it recycled and reused, or is it disposed of? And if it's disposed of, where then is that disposed take place?
Well, Senator Olson, Chair Dingfelder, my understanding is that there is a commodities market in mercury. There are a number of persons that are trying to come up with a repository so that these are brought down. As I recall, that was a provision in the bill last session, which was that when that repository became available, people that collected these bulbs would take the mercury that came from that to that repository rather than putting it back on the market where it gets into shoes and jewelry in India and things like that.
My only concern is that once you guys do a successful job of collecting, that you don't give it to somebody and they turn around and put it in your landfill without you knowing it. That's what I'm trying to find out, where it ends up.
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, yes, that's a very important part of the protocols that we have when we contract with our hazardous waste contractors that take the material from it. That's also a part of other bills such as the e-waste program, where there is efforts to look downstream to make sure that the recovered components do go to the right place and are not just, you know, inadvertently sent back to disposal.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions? I do have a quick question for either Scott or Emily. And I heard you say, Emily, that you actually do outreach and education. So part of the fees cost that you're quoting is part of that. And I'm assuming, does Metro also? My question is, how do we make sure consumers know about where to take their bulbs currently? Because we are looking at, for the future, when we do have, hopefully, a more widespread recycling program, we know now there are retailers who take it. So how do you get that information out to your citizens that you serve?
Thank you for the question, Chair Dingfelder. So speaking not for all counties, because all counties do not do education, but for those that do, for example, Marion County has a newsletter that they put out, and they have a part in that newsletter that says, come to the transfer station, you can drop off your mercury-contained lighting. Other counties have household hazardous waste collection events, so it may be once or twice a year, and so the advertisement goes out to the public and informing them of when and where to come and what, you know, what they can drop off at that event.
Okay. Yes, the Metro region is, Senator Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson, yes, the Metro region has pretty much similar things. We do have an addition in our area. We have a hotline, Metro Recycling Hotline, where people can call in if they have particular questions or go online and find out where to go to take their lamps and that. So that if there were another bill that increased the number of places, we would provide that information to our hotline and get that information out, as well as in our regular material about our own services.
Okay. And Madam Chair, just to, you know, we get the occasional call from members or others that say, what, you know, I just had the lamp burn out. I I think there's something I'm supposed to do with it, but I'm not sure what. And we just basically, you know, figure out where they are, if they're in the metro area, say to take it to a transfer station and or to call their local county, you know, hazardous waste disposal program. So to the extent that we and another organization that supports the organization that's not here today, but you'll be getting a letter from the Northwest Energy Coalition, are also engaged in some consumer education as well on a admittedly limited basis, but again, as people do have some sense that they need to do something special with these bulbs rather than just throw them in the trash can, but they just can't remember
to do.
I just can't remember what.
And I'm going to throw out something here, which I'm sure is not a new idea, because I'm sure somebody else has thought about that. But are the utilities are you working with the utilities, Cub, too? Because I'm thinking about what's the best way to reach, you know, customers. And of course, everybody gets a utility bill. Either some people are paperless now, but they'll get it through their computer. I'm wondering, and I'm certainly not suggesting for people listening that we mandate this, but if we could work with the utilities to have that as part of their bill inserts, because I'm sure people are asking this as more and more folks are using compact fluorescent lights.
Well, I'm certainly not going to speak for the utilities. They do have a newsletter, and maybe, you know, we can all agree on, you know, some month in the not too distant future to have something in our newsletter, their newsletter, and I can take responsibility for at least suggesting that.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming here to testify today. We've got Sean Miller, Sue Marshall, and Mike Dewey. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, which is the major lamp manufacturers in the United States, including General Electric, Sylvania, and Philips. And you heard from Mark Kohorst from NEMA during the interim days in January that the industry is supportive of mercury standards, and that we are committed to minimizing that the potential hazard in their lamps. And so they are committed to this, and we have, since that hearing, I've been working a lot on just getting the language right on the standard, because if you remember back from that hearing, the only concern that we really had was not that we wanted to mirror the standards that are in place in California, because they were the first, especially on the West Coast, to go here. And obviously keeping that consistent from a manufacturer's point of view is very important. We just can't do things just for Oregon only. And so that was the main point. Now, California, when they first passed, just pointed to the ROS directive, which is a European directive. You also heard from Mark that it's easier for compliance and for the industry to use the U.S. products and not use products pointing to a European standard. And so what you have before you in the Dash 1 Amendment is a lot of work that went into taking the standard that's in place, again, in California, which references Europe, and making that standard for U.S. products. So this will be the first of its kind to reference U.S. products, and I believe you'll see this kind of a conversation happen in California for U.S. products when they try to deal with the ROS 2 directive, which is the change. So, and you'll also see this as a model in other states when they look at mercury standards. So I can tell you a lot of work has gone in since that hearing. I want to thank Beth Petrino as well. She managed this group to actually come up with this, and the chair, Senator Olson, and the work that's been put in to actually get this right. And so just want to put on record, we're very supportive, very proud of this product, and would ask the committee to pass the Dash 1 Amendment.
Thank you.
Chair Dingfelter, Vice Chair Olson, my name is Sue Marshall. I'm here on behalf of Tualatin Riverkeepers. Tualatin Riverkeepers supports Senate Bill 1510. Mercury is very toxic, even in very small amounts. It's detrimental to human health, with infants and children particularly vulnerable. It also bioaccumulates in aquatic species, working its way up through the food chain. adversely affects fish physiology and behavior that over time can reduce fish populations. We think it's very important to reduce amounts of mercury from both big and small sources and urge your support. We have not been involved in the details of working out the Dash 1, but commend everyone who was involved with that effort. And I would just like to mention that the Oregon Chapter of American Fisheries Society has submitted a white paper with a couple of links to studies related to mercury, and happy to follow up with any information you might need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Members, Mike Dewey for the record, representing Waste Management. Waste Management has a division. It's the Lamp Tracker Division. And we have pilot projects in, actually not in, it's not a pilot in Seattle because it's in the rates, and we're just starting that program, but in pilot projects in California and Florida and other jurisdictions where we have the residential collection program. And so what we provide, depending on the circumstance, is packaging and then a way of picking that up curbside. And so that it's nice in the Seattle market because it's in the rates, and it's one of those situations where everybody's kind of paying for something that is toxic to be picked up. And it's in its infancy. We're working also with GE and Walmart and the National Association in terms of developing the kind of the education outreach programs that are essential, because the residential community needs to know that these programs are available and how they work. And we'd be happy at some point, Madam Chair, during the interim, if you'd like one of our experts in the Division of Lamp Tracker to do this. We had met with Senator Olson late last session, showed him the packaging, and I think you still have that, which is very secure. And we think this is kind of the wave, and we'll be at some point talking with Metro about perhaps the potential for a pilot program in the Portland region, where we have, I think, about 40,000 customers. So with that, thank you for the opportunity. I mean, obviously, the bill appears ready to go, and that's great.
Questions?
Okay. Sean, the amendment has increased the mercury from the original bill. And that, I assume, was because of the change to the Ross. Is that because of the change to the Ross 2 standards? Or?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, there was a lot of discussion that took place on what the current standard was in California, and that was a lot of the discussions we had with DEQ and Metro. Because the European standard and the Ross 2 directive is out there, and California is now going to start that process to mirror that up. Some of the numbers that were in the first draft of the bill reflected that European standard that aren't in place in California. So if we would have gone there, we would have had an Oregon-only standard. And as you can well imagine from the manufacturer side, when California does things, the market, that's the big enough market. If Oregon were to do it on its own, they just can't produce a lamp to meet that standard just for Oregon. Now, with that said, we built in to the bill on page 4 of the bill, section 5, where California is now going to go through that process, and we hope actually to use the layout using what we're trying to do, and that's U.S. products, to mirror and match up with the European Ross 2 directive. And so when that takes place, we plan to then come back, because the industry is going to be working hard on that down in California. We're more than willing to come back and make those adjustments at a future date to our standard. And so, again, from an industry standpoint, we do want to reduce the mercury. We want to keep it consistent, and we will have no problem making the changes in the future, again, keeping it consistent with the other states. And California is the one most interested. That's why I referenced California.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Yeah, Paula. I just want to make that clear, because I want people that read the bill and they see the two, they would might question why the jump. Did somebody cave? And your explanation is perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, and just to comment on that, I mean, this is an example of why, I mean, I think we probably all agree, everybody who's been working on this bill, why this is best done at the federal level. However, in the absence of leadership on this at the federal level, the states are really the ones that are taking the lead. And so the intent here is not to make life miserable for manufacturers. It's to try to continue down the path of reducing the toxicity of these bulbs, but making sure that we're working with other states that are also taking leadership on this. And as you've heard, California has been in the lead on many issues. Energy efficiency, we've worked to align our energy efficiency standards for appliances with California for the same reason. So the other thing is, too, it's not just a national market, it's a global market. And so when, yes, we have European standards, I think the manufacturers, my guess would be, are looking so they don't have to be manufacturing one bulb for Europe, something else for the United States. However, certainly you have different products there. But it is something that I think everybody is working together to make sure we're having consistent standards. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ralph Broner and Peggy Lynch. And is there anybody else that would like to testify on? I'm going to call up DEQ at the end in case there's any questions. Is anybody else that didn't sign up? Okay, come on up. Ralph, why don't you start?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ralph Groner, representing AFSCME, which is American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. So I represent Metro employees, DEQ's employees, Clackamas County employees, Multnomah County, Hood River County, and it goes on. And most cities, most local government in Oregon is AFSCME. Mine's simple. Mercury content, we support lowering the mercury content in lamps and bulbs. To me, mercury's a toxic. There's no argument about that. It can be harmful at very low levels. We urge support of the bill and encourage DAS to pursue lamp and bulbs with low mercury level. Maybe the argument could be made it costs more, but it lasts longer. So more stability. We understand industry supports these standards because can meet the standards, and you've talked about that. If you pass this, you'll be one of only three states to do this, and we'll help encourage other entities such as my county, Clackamas, cities in my county. Excuse me, I don't want to leave Hood River County out or get hurt, and cities in those counties, as well as all of Multnomah County, our members, and so forth. So we hope there's emulation of this model because of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Peggy, why don't you go next?
Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. We support the bill as well. You've heard most of the details and all of the technical things. Although fluorescent lights are excellent energy-saving tool, the mercury contained within them has been shown to damage the brain, the liver, and kidneys, and can cause developmental disorders in children. For that reason, and our belief that early intervention and prevention measures are key to ensuring children's health, and our solid waste position that asserts that government has an important role to play in setting standards to ensure maximum protection of public health and the environment, we ask that you move this bill forward. Thank you for working on it.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, I'm Andrea Salinas, Legislative Director for the Oregon Environmental Council. Oregon Environmental Council has worked on programs and policies, both voluntary and regulatory, to reduce mercury contamination in Oregon for over a decade. OEC has prioritized reducing mercury contamination as critical to safeguarding the health of Oregon children. And Peggy mentioned the reasons for reducing mercury exposures to children. It's a potent neurotoxin. It can damage the brain development of children who are exposed by eating contaminated fish, as well as fetuses who are exposed through their mother's consumption of contaminated fish. It can also pass to a nursing infant through breast milk. According to the CDC, 8% of U.S. women of childbearing age have enough mercury in their blood to pose a threat of neurological damage to the fetus. A 2000 report by the National Academy of Science estimates that 60,000 babies born each year in the U.S. face a serious threat of learning disabilities or other neurological problems because their mothers ate fish contaminated with mercury during their pregnancies. Once released into the environment, mercury does not disappear or degrade. It persists for decades, and as it moves up the food chain, it increases in concentration. SB 1512 provides Oregon with needed restrictions to reduce mercury contamination, leading to a safer and healthier environment for all Oregonians. We do hope you pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. Palmer, you are first up because we wanted to see if there were any additional questions or if you wanted to try to address some of the questions that Senator Olson raised. And I just want to thank my staff, or our staff, Beth Petrino, the committee staff, who has spent quite a bit of time working on this with the Department of Environmental Quality, with the stakeholders, with the industry. And certainly, I think we have more work to do, but this is a step in the right direction. I appreciate the work of everybody, and I know the department has spent quite a bit of time trying to figure this out. So you are now the, I think you guys are now the lighting standard experts in the state, besides NEMA, of course.
Yeah. Right. Well, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Olson, members of the committee, my name is Palmer Mason. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. And I would be remiss if I didn't echo the comments of others and say that this was a good team effort. The industry in particular needs to be recognized for stepping forward and agreeing to lower the mercury in their lamps and bulbs. There was a lot of hard work put forward by not only my agency, but Metro. And so the three groups came together and worked on this language. And I think that the comments by Sean Miller captured it pretty well. The unique thing about this legislation is that rather than getting into the complications of referencing a document from another state or, in this case, a foreign country, we put clear standards in the law that manufacturers and consumers and everybody else can know what those standards are. And I think that's the model that Sean was alluding to, that if other states go forward, they'll have clear numeric standards in the law so that the compliance is easier. I also appreciate that Sean brought up that there was a willingness on the part of the industry to look again at what California would do with their legislation. There was confusion about how California is going to go forward in applying the standards to see a lowering over time of mercury. And what we all agreed to was, as California tries to clarify those issues legislatively, that Oregon would look again. And if California has made advances that we can all agree to, that we would be back here before the legislature to try to incorporate those in Oregon. And as the chair stressed, it was very important to all of us to try to harmonize what Oregon did, not only with California, but with a global marketplace, because the point of this is for manufacturers to sell their products in a way that's more protective of the environment and human health, but in a way that they can do business in a sensible fashion. And so I want to, again, applaud everybody for putting forth the time and effort to do that. With that said, why don't I go to what some of the comments and questions I heard, and maybe I can try to shed a little light and certainly take any more questions if there are. This is probably not lost on the committee, but just so it's really clear, I think when you look at the collection issue for CFLs and fluorescent tubes, the issue is really about households. And in most places, when you're talking commercial, retail establishments, businesses, there is a system in place where service providers come to those facilities and manage the spent bulbs and lamps that have mercury in them as universal waste. And that's a subset of the hazardous waste rules that we have here in Oregon. It's intended to be a little simpler and easier to comply with. The paperwork recording requirements aren't the same as typical hazardous waste, but the material is treated in much the same way as hazardous and has to be handled appropriately. So there is a whole industry available to service institutions and buildings like this one that we're in now, as well as other retail and commercial establishment. The real problem is for those of us who are switching out our incandescent bulbs for CFLs, as we should be doing because they last longer and they're more energy efficient, is what do we do with those bulbs? And to the credit of the counties and local governments, they have stepped forward and provided household hazardous waste facilities to manage much of that. But they're not everywhere in Oregon, and they're not always the most convenient locations. So I think there is a question, a policy question, for the legislature to look at about how do we manage the waste that comes out of households and how do we manage that appropriately. And as we all know, when we talk about recycling, convenience matters. So the more convenient we make it, the easier we make it on the consumer and on the households, the better recycling and return rates we'll get. So I think that's going to be the issue that the legislature will have to revisit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other questions?
Do you have some questions?
we've got the new standards in here. Could you quantify where we were to what we are now? How much did we lose? 25% of the mercury, 50%? Would that be an appropriate question for you, or maybe Sean should answer that?
Why don't you come up here, Sean, for extra support? I think it's a good question. This reduces, what's the reduction level from what we're seeing now as common practice?
That's probably,
yeah. Well, Madam Chair, Senator Olson, Sean Miller again for the National Electrical Manufacturers Association. I know over the last decade, the industry's on its own, without a standard, reduced the mercury by, I think it's around 90%. So, I mean, you've seen from just a short amount of time, you know, voluntary efforts to reduce. They're still investing in the technologies and new products to where we may evolve into a product that has no mercury. And we obviously have LEDs. To answer your question specifically to this particular standard, the industry is already, meeting this standard. Now, I say the industry that I represent, there's actually, it won't cover all the manufacturers. And I won't cover all the manufacturers because there could be manufacturers in some of the Asian markets that are not meeting this standard currently, even in California. And since we had to, you know, we are already voluntarily have to meet California standard, and again, moving towards this new directive that's going on in Europe, because again, as the chair noted, it's a European, the industry, and again, the major manufacturers are investing the resources and the technology to do that. Some aren't, and so with this bill, you will eliminate some product that may come in that does have higher mercury standards. And so again, those are folks that I don't represent because I think they may come from some of the manufacturers in Asia. So,
but Sean, they're not part of your association, is what you're saying. You don't represent.
I don't represent.
Palmer, did you have a follow up to that?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I think I can answer your question on CFLs. Typically, you see CFLs have about 5 milligrams of mercury. As Sean was alluding to, you may even see higher amounts potentially from other manufacturers, the folks he does not represent. So what this legislation would do would have that go to a 4 milligram standard for 25 watts or less CFLs. So that maybe give you some idea of the scale of reduction.
I'd just like to get that on the record because people they're going to look at this and they're not going to, well, what have we done? I mean, because Sean has already said that we're already there. Mm-hmm. So what have we done? But we've done a magnificent job of getting the mercury out. And I passed a note down to Beth, and I heard that she said you would be the guy to talk to, DEQ. I'm looking for a list of those people that can accept this hazardous waste, and I'm really kind of going to hone in on what do they do with it. Mm-hmm. Is it recycled? Do they take the mercury and recycle it, or do they give it back to you as waste, or do they burn it?
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I will certainly follow up with you. There are places that do recycle, as I think Scott Clegg alluded to. There would be other processors who would handle the material ultimately as a hazardous waste. And again, if you are talking about commercial establishments, generally that's treated as universal waste, which is a subset of our hazardous waste rules, and it's got to be treated in that manner. But again, there are opportunities to recycle the material, including mercury. One important thing to put out there, maybe this kind of goes to your question, is one of the issues that I think we'll have to wrestle with if we have a recycling program, or if the legislature goes in that direction, is do we have the facilities in place to retort the mercury, as they say, that to recycle the mercury. I think there is a facility like that in Washington State. I'm not sure that there's one here in Oregon. So that would be an issue that will have to be looked at.
We can create jobs here.
Yeah.
Is that we can create jobs here?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Olson, I'll also look into some of the retailers that actually voluntarily take in, Home Depot and some of the other.
IKEA.
Have signed agreements. Now, they also contract to treat that as a hazardous waste, so they have procedures for that. But I don't know exactly how that's disposed of, and I'm happy to look into that and follow up with you.
That's a follow up. The one thing I'm just trying to get to is we're going to have an exceptional collection ability, but we need to be track it after it's collected, after it's given over to these people that are licensed to collect it, where does it go? And nobody's answered, really answered that question. They don't send it to the moon. It's got to go someplace, but we don't. I still haven't heard where it goes.
And Senator, I will certainly follow up on that. I mean, you know, most of the hazardous waste here in Oregon goes to the Arlington facility, but I will follow up to make sure that I'm giving you the complete information.
Yeah, and I just want to say we do have protocols in place because mercury is not a new heavy metal, and it is considered a hazardous waste. The reason it isn't in light bulbs is because at the household level, they're not being collected together, so they go in the trash just like batteries and other things that in the residential stream is not considered household hazardous waste until it is collected in an amount that comes together. And that's part of the issue here. And I did ask that question to NEMA, you know, what are the contracts you have when the Home Depots and the Lowe's and the IKEAs take it? Because you guys, obviously, I'm sure you want to make sure you're abiding by the law and making sure that it's being collected, recycled, and disposed of properly. So I'm sure that Palmer will be checking up to make sure that that's happening. Okay, any other questions? Senator Thompson.
Mike, if Palmer or Sean calls those people and asks about that information, they might warn them that Senator Olson might be showing up at their door?
Well, and there are very strict requirements for the tracking of hazardous waste at the federal level through RCRA, so I'm sure that they have all that documentation. So with that, any other questions? We'll let these gentlemen go. Okay.
Thank you.
So with that, we will, unless anybody else would like to testify on this bill. Okay, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1512. We do have the paperwork that miraculously appeared during the hearing. So with that, we're going to open up the work session on Senate Bill 1512. And I will take a motion on the amendments.
Chair Dingfelder, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 9th, 2012.
Okay, Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 9th, 2012. Is there any discussion? Okay, any objections to adopting the amendments? Seeing none, motion carries. And the amendments are adopted. And I'll take a motion on the bill.
Chair Dingfelder, I move Senate Bill 1512 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay, Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 1512 as amended with the dash ones to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator
Aye.
Senator
Kowalski? Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair
Dingfelder? Aye. With that, the motion carries, and Senator Olson has volunteered because of all the hard work he's put into this, and obviously knows probably more about mercury now than most folks in the Oregon legislature. So he will be the carrier of the bill. And with that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1512. Colleagues, our last day to hear Senate, hear and work Senate bills is next Tuesday. And so just please check the agenda. I think we posted pretty much everything that we have at this point. And with that, yes, we have, of course, with our efficient committee staff. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
You're welcome.